This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning. I think both guys are more than qualified when you read their resumes and what they've done and who they've been around.
Yep.
So this is why the front office people, you just never know where they're coming from. And you don't know what their backgrounds are until you start reading their resumes. And then you see who they've been around and what teams they've been on. And quite frankly, you can't argue with either one of these guys and where they've come from. So Buffalo has been rebuilding for about 4 or 5 years. And this guy, Shane, has been right in the middle of all of that. Now, they got lucky. You know, Josh Allen fell to them.
Yeah.
I look at Poles, and Poles, has been around Andy Reid. He's been quiet. Nobody really knows who he is. He's probably one of those guys that... You know, he's a former offensive lineman at Boston College, by the way, and he was a teammate of Matt Ryan. So he's been around football. He knows football. The Boston College connection, I always tell you.
Yeah, with the Giants.
There's something there. And that's why, you know, Brian Flores is a little bit older than Poles is. So
he's only 36, Ryan Poles, right?
Yeah, I could see that pairing, too. Who knows? I mean, this is the interesting part of what's going on right now with the Giants. If they trot one of those guys out there, they will have come from good places.
Yeah.
That have good players, good rosters, and that's really what their job is. Their job is to evaluate the roster, decide, you know, who stays, who goes, and then hopefully have an enormous impact when it comes to the draft.
Is it fair to say, though, that you're looking at two organizations and deputies in the front office of these two organizations that essentially are really good because they got lucky with a quarterback and they've got a good head coach?
Well, I do think for Buffalo and Brandon being their GM, you know, he hired Sean McDermott. People in the NFL knew who Sean McDermott was. He comes from the Jim Johnson tree of Philadelphia defense.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he had a nice run down there in Carolina. And then Brandon Bean came with him. It's just like, that's what you're trying to find. You're trying to find the next really energetic head coach is what you're trying to find. And you're also trying to find a guy. Look, there's a lot of pressure on whoever comes in here as GM because you know the Giant fans. What are they looking at next? They're looking at the draft.
Yeah, of course.
And the draft, because of some of the mistakes that Dave Gettleman made over the last 4 years, is going to be really important to the Giant fan and to the Giant organization moving forward, especially with 2 first-round picks. Here's the thing about having a guy that has never been in that seat before. Do they trade? Don't they trade? Do they trade down and pick up more picks?
How aggressive is that guy going to be?
Yeah, so like a guy like Rick Spielman, on the other hand, has been through 15 years of drafts.
How come nobody's interviewing him anymore? Is it just like if people think he's a has-been or something? I don't know.
Either that or maybe he just wants to take a year off.
You don't know.
So, yeah. But again, this is the difference between having a guy with experience and having a guy that basically has been around really good people making decisions. And both of these guys are. They both come from, you know, great organizations and stable organizations right now, especially because of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to interview Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, for the NFL today.
All right, nice.
So just
got to ask him about his craps playing.
Well, I will. I only have 3 minutes. It's not game time.
Okay.
As I was told.
All right.
But so anyway, looking through like his history and things of that nature, do you realize his first 2 years in Cincinnati, maybe nobody around here knows this because nobody really cares.
They weren't so good.
Right, so 6 wins in his first two seasons.
Well, he got a pass, though, in the second year because of the Joe Burrow injury.
But he actually said after the game where they beat the Raiders this past Saturday, one game ball is going to Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals. And the reason he did that was because he said, if I were in any other organization, I would have most likely been fired after my second year.
Well, certainly with the Giants, he would have been.
Yeah, but again, you know, they also won the lottery in his second year. They won the lottery because they got Joe Burrow, but Joe Burrow got hurt that year.
Yeah.
So they had like parallel paths. 2019, he takes over from Marvin Lewis. They go 2-14. They end up getting the number one pick. 2019 is when Joe Burrow is ascending as the best player in college football at LSU. And then, of course, they have the first pick. They take Joe, and the whole thing changes. And it has changed significantly. But realizing that Zach Taylor he's got something in common with Ricky Williams, Vince Young, Kyler Murray, and Baker Mayfield. Do you know what that is?
I do not.
Big 12 Player of the Year.
Oh, interesting.
He was a quarterback at the University of Nebraska. He grew up in Norman, Oklahoma. Oklahoma didn't want him. He went to Wake Forest, transferred to a junior college, and then walked on under Bill Callahan at Nebraska and won Player of the Year in the Big 12.
How about that?
There's so many interesting things and so many interesting ways about doing things. But the point being is that they got lucky. They won the lottery. They got Joe Burrow, and all of a sudden things changed. Much like, you know, Josh Allen falling to Buffalo and Patrick Mahomes falling to Kansas City. Now, these guys are coming from those areas. Those two players changed those franchises, just like Joe Burrow is changing the Bengals franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's really
one player.
Yeah, no, I know, and that's why I think to what the Giants are going to do and how the quarterback, of course, is going to be the more important thing. I remember going back to talking about whether or not Joe Judge should stay and the business side of things. And if you bring Joe Judge back, it's just going to be very flat with the season ticket holders and the PSLs and the Giant fan. And Steve Tisch is all about the business side of things. Mm-hmm. And you start over, there's at least a little bit of excitement because it's something new and it's the unknown and you're not bringing back the same guy. You're really going to tell me that Brian Daboll and the Bills assistant GM is going to be the thing that lights the fan base on fire? There's just no way. He may work out. Who knows? He may be the next great head coach in football. You don't know. As you mentioned, Zach Taylor had two bad years, and now he's got one game away from the AFC Championship game. It's just like you're going to move on from a guy after 2 years and then basically do this hot coordinator thing again? It just, I don't know. It would be surprising to me. It feels like another one of those hires that teams in smaller markets do. You know, I don't know. And I would look at some of these other guys who have had experience. Like, I'll name a guy. Now, I know that they're talking to the GMs first. They haven't had any head coach interviews yet. Some other organizations doing head coach interviews and also GM interviews at the same time, which is a little weird. But a guy like Raheem Morris. Raheem Morris got his shot down in Tampa. It wasn't very good. But then has worked under other great head coaches. Had an opportunity to be the interim head coach down at Atlanta. Is now the defensive coordinator for the Rams. And they've got all these great players that rave about him. How come a guy like that isn't higher on lists? Like, why? Because he had a bad run in his early 30s with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
He's on a list, just like Todd Bowles is on a list. You know, a lot of this comes down to, and I've told you this since Frank took over in Indianapolis, and he kind of let me inside just to see exactly everything that goes on and what comes across their desk. You know, it's one thing to go in and build a defensive game plan and talk to 22 to 24 players on your defensive side of the ball and get them ready to go and play at a fever pitch, especially in the playoffs. It's easy to do that. It's not most easy, but it's a little bit more. It's easier to get them to be more focused and to do what they're there to do. But when you stand up there and you are the leader of the entire team, and then you have to make the decisions on Sunday, that's where, you know, guys get lost. You know, making those in-game decisions, those adjustments, both on offense, defense, and, of course, on special teams, and knowing when to go for it on fourth down and knowing how to manage. You know, this is what Rob Saleh's got to learn. He's never had to do that before.
And maybe that's why I have this opinion that I have about the Giants going in this direction. There's a lot of growing pains there with Rob Saleh and that coaching staff at the beginning. Now, at the end of the year, I feel a little bit better about stuff. It felt like they were lost in the beginning.
So just like Zach Wilson's trying to figure it out, or Daniel Jones is trying to figure out his first year, the coaches are trying to figure it out as well. And, you know, when you have players, let's say for Mike LaFleur, the offense coordinator of the Jets. All right, so you put this rookie quarterback out there. You think you got the greatest game plan. All of a sudden, he starts throwing the ball all over the place, throwing it into the ground and not playing any good. And then all of a sudden, everybody questions the offense coordinator. Is he good? Is he good? What does he do? And then you put Mike White in there. And all boom, 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 up and down the field. You put Joe Flacco in there. Boom, 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 up and down the field. So now you know the offense works.
Sure.
It depends on who's, you know, running the offense and who's running the plays. But he's learning. The quarterback's learning and the head coach is learning. And they're all learning different aspects of a new job title that there is a lot of pressure. You know, and it's like I was reading an article yesterday about the NFL and nepotism. Because the NFL is wrought with nepotism. It's just, I mean, everywhere. Front offices with owners and kids and brothers and aunts and uncles.
Well, the Giants, of course.
Well, I mean, the Bengals, everybody, you know, every family-owned organization's got, you know, family throughout the organization, all different sides of it. Some player personnel, some business. I mean, it's all over the place. But that's, you know, that's their right.
Bill Belichick's got his son on the staff.
It's their business.
Yeah,
they can do whatever they want. They can run it any way they want. And, you know, this is what happens. And if you're in the coaching fraternity, you're going to get jobs because of, you know, your dad did something or your uncle did something, and you're going to get hired somewhere by somebody. And you're going to start this trek to get to where you get to. And, you know, it's really, when you read the article, it's eye-opening. It's eye-opening how it all comes about. And I thought the article, I'll send it to you so you can read it, because a lot of it is about Mike Zimmer.
Oh, really?
And the Vikings and Gary Kubiak.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole thing with the kids and get this guy a job, get this guy a job, make him a coordinator. I'm like, and the player's like, who the hell is this guy to be a coordinator?
Right.
Well, he's the coach's son.
Yeah, that's not
right,
great.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot of that goes on. And it also goes on in the front office, and usually from ownership down. You know, not from coaches up, it's ownership down. And if you are connected to the owners, you're basically untouchable. You're basically untouchable.
Yeah, that's not a healthy way to do things. Really is not.
You'd be surprised how big of an issue it is within the NFL. Now, the Fritz Poward Alliance, who is advocating for black coaches and black GMs and offensive and defense coordinators and more diversity in those ranks, you know, it's like the third rail of the NFL. Like, they don't really want to talk about it because sometimes it works in their favor and sometimes it doesn't. And they say they just want people to get hired who are the right people for the job and who deserve the job. And I'm all about that. You know, I believe in that 100%. So it's interesting when you think about the incestuous nature of the NFL and how these people are all tied together some way or another, how they know somebody or somebody makes a phone call. It's not really what you know in the NFL, it's who you know.
Well, that's why we're talking about these GM candidates and who they might hire as a head coach because of the previous relationships that they have. And you can't blame anybody for that. Because if you're taking that GM job for the first time and you're hiring a coach, it's got to be someone you know and you trust, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that and when you hire 30 guys on your staff,
yeah,
you know, you got to make sure everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Don't you kind of feel like it's going to this? It's going to be this Bills deal for the Giants. I feel like it's trending in that direction. I feel like Brian Daboll is going to be the head coach and this guy.
So they did what about 10 Zoom interviews with 10 different people, I guess, and they'll bring in 4.
They already had the second interview with Shane.
He's got to change his name. You got to change the spelling of it.
I know. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
So they already had the second interview with him and the second interview with Poles. So those were the two guys that they brought back for second interviews already. So it's got to tell you something, right?
Figure it's got to be one of those two guys.
I would think.
And Poles is an African American, so it fits the Fritz Power Alliance requirements and the Rooney Rule and all that other stuff. Hey, look, man. If you told me that they were going to hire this guy, Ryan Poles, and they were going to pair him with another Boston College guy, Ryan Flores,
I think that'd be a good job.
I'd be happy about
that. I'd sign
that.
For that. But somehow the Shane Daboll thing I don't like.
Why is that?
Just
because Daboll's a coordinator and never been a head coach before. And also he has you know, lineage to the Patriots. It seems like everybody in the NFL has some sort of linkage to the Patriots.
Well, so does Brian Flores, and that doesn't bother me at all. I don't know. I just feel like when you are the Giants, and I understand they've been bad for a decade, and it goes back to that Steve Tisch business point that I was making earlier. You're not going to be able to sell the fan base on just another inexperienced hot coordinator name. Like, nobody's going to be excited about that. I mean, Rob Saleh, I think the Jets fans was excited about Rob Saleh because they kind of knew him.
Because of the success at San Francisco. Yeah, and he was in the Super Bowl,
demonstrative on the sideline and everything else.
All gas, no brakes.
Yeah, you kind of knew him as a coordinator. You felt like he was going to come in. He just was different than that. He was the exact opposite of Adam Gase in every single way. But I don't know. Like, just going to pluck the next hot coordinator again. It's just like this cycle that goes on and on and on. Like, it's just like, I'd like to see a guy.
It's a hamster wheel.
Yeah, hamster wheel of turds. But just like we said with the Mets and needing an experienced guy.
Get the guy, and you got Buck Showalter. And how did the Met fan react to that?
They loved it.
Yes.
I just don't think this
How did the Knick fan react when we hired Tom Thibodeau?
Most of them loved it.
Yes, of course we did.
I think it's time for the Giants to no, you're not going to be able
would
to.
Would that be Brian Flores?
Yeah, that would sort of fit the bill. Because there's not a lot of experienced guys that are available.
Doug Peterson
is.
Zimmer.
Yeah, I don't think Zimmer's going to get another show. Like Leslie Frazier, Todd Bowles, Raheem Morris.
All those three guys that you just named are all second time around.
I think those guys have a better chance. I think Zimmer's too fresh. I don't think Zimmer's going to jump into another
job. What about Byron Leftwich?
I mean, there's another guy who's a first timer. I mean, Jacksonville wants to hire him, fine. The Giants are at a stage in their organization where they need someone who's done it before to come in. And it seems like there's so many problems there with them that they need somebody who's done it before. They've seen some stuff to come in and clean it up as opposed to learning on the job again.
If I had to list the problems that the Giants have, I would start on offense.
Yeah.
They have problems on offense. Now, defense, they don't have an edge rusher. They don't really have anybody that gets after the passer. So we know what I believe that they have to fix on defense. I don't know how they'll do it. They may do it with one of their draft picks. They may do it via free agency with a short-term contract with somebody, you know, who can get after the quarterback when you look at the free agent list. But, you know, offense to me, especially with the quarterback being hurt, and we don't know what the health of their present quarterback is going to be, or whether somebody comes in here and says, you know what, the Daniel Jones is over with. We're going with a stopgap guy, or we're going to draft somebody. So you know, that's why whoever you hire as GM has got a mountain of a decision to make when it comes to the most important position on the field. And that's whether or not Daniel Jones is the guy, or they got to go out and get another one.
Yeah, it just feels like there's certain times in an organization's history where they need somebody serious.
So here's the thing about Zach Taylor and the Bengals, just to go back to him for 1 second. He gets the job because he's part of the Sean McVay staff. That was, Super Bowl 54, 53, whatever it was. He was the quarterback coach for Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was the hot young coordinator who had all the answers. And then, of course, his first year, they go 2-14. He's got to navigate benching Andy Dalton for Ryan Finley, and then bringing Andy Dalton back that first year. And then Andy Dalton leaves after a successful run in Cincinnati. And then, lo and behold, Joe Burrow falls into his lap. But, you know, they won only 6 games in 2 years. And just like here, people in Cincinnati wanted Zach Taylor fired. They wanted him out of there. 2 years, this losing continues. We're the worst franchise in the league. You know, it's all the same stuff.
Yeah, and they also were down on the fact because he was supposed to be the next Sean McVay, and he came off of that staff.
You could become the next Sean McVay when you have a healthy Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden you can call plays that the kid can handle, and he'll tell you what to call because now he's so in charge of everything. And then you add Ja'Marr Chase to that group of wide receivers with Joe Mixon as a running back. You take a look at their offensive line. In the break, I want you to look at their offensive line and look where everyone on that offensive line was either drafted or signed from going into Tennessee this weekend.
Okay.
And tell me if you think it's better or worse than the offensive lines that are currently here in New York.
All right. I will do that. That's an interesting tease. I will do that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
What's happening, Jerry?
Well, we are powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. We're also brought to you by the Progressive New York Boat Show. Visit NewYorkBoatShow.com. All right, you guys started with the NFL, so we go there. Divisional weekend upon us in just a couple of days. We got a doubleheader Saturday. We've got two games Sunday. You're going to love this one, Boomer. It's Joe Burrow. You've got the Titans taking on the Bengals. Obviously, everybody in Cincinnati thrilled. They finally got that monkey off their back. They won the game the other day, a playoff win. But he says, let's go win again and again and again.
I think the fans were very excited, but you know, I tried to downplay it and all that because this is, you know, this is how it's going to be from here on out.
How about that?
I told you, man, he's got a little bit of confidence, don't you think?
We're going lots of playoff games. Yeah, and by the way, I hope they do win because no one wants to see Tennessee.
It's yeah, they're true. A fun team. There's no question about it. The Bengals are a fun team. They're an offensive juggernaut. I was just telling Gio to look at the offensive line and who they are for the Bengals. Did you look that up?
I did. I mean, other than the Jonah Williams, who's a first-round pick, they're all undrafted guys or sixth- or seventh-rounders.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seems like they're doing a good enough job, though.
Well, but again, it helps when you have a quarterback that moves around and gets rid of the ball. You know, doesn't stand there and hold it. Now, he's going to have a little bit of a rough game this week, I think, just simply because Tennessee's defensive line is so active.
Mm.
And they got Harold Landry out there. I mean, they got some pass rushers, Bud Dupree.
Yep.
You know, so it's, you know, he's a great player. Just got to give him about 2.5 seconds.
Bud Dupree just fight a Walmart employee or
yeah,
something?
Yeah.
Walgreens, I think it was.
Walgreens?
I think so.
Over what?
How about that? Taking his picture.
Somebody was taking his picture.
Oh, that's right.
Didn't like that.
Something like that. Niners in Green Bay on Saturday night. Going to be quite cold, as you can imagine. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show.
It's always difficult to throw when it gets really, really cold. If you have some sort of ailment with your hand, I would assume that would make it a little more difficult, too. Farvey, I know, broke his thumb and kept playing and would talk about, you know, tell some stories from that year from time to time about how difficult it was.
Now, Jimmy Garoppolo's got the shoulder. He doesn't have a hand thing.
No, he does have a hand thing.
He does? I thought it was just a sprained shoulder.
No, he's got a thumb thing. That's what he's alluding to.
Oh, I thought the thumb thing had cleared itself
up. He's just trying to tell Jimmy Garoppolo, look, man, you're going to suck this week.
Basically,
it's going to be freezing. You're going to suck. Well, your finger's going to hurt. Everything's going to hurt.
Here's what I expect. 6 sacks of Rodgers by that defensive front by San Francisco.
Assuming that Nick Bosa's playing. And also remember that Aaron Rodgers got his all-pro left tackle, David Bakhtiari, back in Week 17. So he did play, and then he had a week off, and now he'll be ready to go. So
you're expecting a Green Bay win?
Oh, yeah. I you know, I want to pick San Francisco in the worst way, but it's going to be 0 degrees.
It is going to be cold.
So if the Packers lose this game, is that Aaron Rodgers boycotting the Super Bowl or no?
No. Yeah.
Well, what does Boomer say?
For Aaron Rodgers, this is a big game because San Francisco's beaten them twice in the playoffs at Lambeau with
and Tampa
Colin
beat
Kaepernick.
Them, what was it, the division round or championship game last year?
Championship
it
game.
It was the championship
yep.
game. Well, we shall see. That's the Saturday night game. On Sunday, Rams and Bucks. Here's Tom Brady. Nothing easy here.
These playoff games feel like, you know, a regular season game's of like one game. A playoff game feels like a 1.5. You know, I just think the hitting, the intensity, the preparation.
All of it goes into it. No doubt that game will be Saturday, was it? But Sunday, rather. What time is that at? That's at 3 o'clock. Is that right?
3 o'clock.
Yep. And then you've got the night game around 6:30. Will be the Chiefs and the Bills.
You're killing me, man. They just want me to stay up late.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
So bad.
That's not 8:30.
No, I know.
6:30 is not the worst thing in the world. Chiefs Executive Director of Player Personnel Ryan Poles will meet with the Giants for a second interview for their GM opening.
So he
today.
Just came from Minnesota, I saw. He was at Minnesota.
Yes, he was
a
out
lot
there.
Of these guys are all meeting in the same place.
Yep.
With all these teams. So we'll see who they end up with. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott did issue an apology for his remarks about fans throwing bottles at the officials after their loss on Sunday. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin in the market for a new quarterback. I think this is what he's talking about.
All the options are on the table, but those decisions are interrelated based on our global needs.
What?
They're interrelated based on global needs.
Yeah. God, is he talking about the supply chain?
I don't know what he's talking about. But they do need
my
a
man.
Quarterback for the first time in a very, very long time. The Seahawks fired defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. I don't know if you guys discussed this or not. Browns defensive tackle Malik McDowell arrested Monday in Florida. So he was arrested on charges of aggravated battery on a police officer, resisting arrest with violence and public exposure because he was nude and he was close to a... wasn't a school, but it was a kids' education center. And that's
there was a video of him walking down the middle of the street completely naked.
That's right. And he has had some run-ins before. In the TMZ story, they attached a video of him from 2019 fighting a police officer inside a gas station convenience store.
Mm.
And he gets tased while he's sitting on the ground, and he just rips the taser out of his chest, stands up, and starts beating on the cop.
The taser didn't work.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, it just stood right up. It's almost like the taser got him angrier. Is the only thing that it did.
Well, do you think that he obviously he's on something.
He's got issues for sure.
I mean, remember Chandler Jones when he was with the New England
Patriots? Yeah, synthetic weed. He wanted to eat a face off of somebody.
He wanted to go to the police station and eat somebody's face off.
Yeah. Bath salts has been a thing, too, in the past where people want to do crazy stuff like
right
that.
Right now, his defense lawyer, Malik McDowell's defense lawyer, came out. Somebody slipped him something.
Okay.
In the middle of the day.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can happen. You never know. And then Jaguars linebacker Laurenti McCray arrested in Florida over the weekend. High-speed pursuit. He was doing 88 and a 50. Cops gave up because they couldn't catch him and it was getting a little too dangerous. He then gave them the finger and accelerated to 100 miles an hour, thought he was free, and then 15 minutes later, he was arrested.
Well, they do have a license plate number and probably...
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that the way the story was written, they kind of gave up, let him go, and then they got him 15 minutes later.
Gave him the finger, huh?
Gave him the finger, according to the story, yes.
Wow.
And Hall of Famer Dan Hampton sentenced to 1 year probation after pleading guilty to drunk driving charges last month in Indiana. That should do it for the police blotter this hour. All right, we get to... the Knicks last night at home against the T-Wolves, they had themselves a 9-point lead in the third. They were still hanging on there in the fourth, and then Minnesota came up with the big plays down the stretch.
Anthony Edwards now with it. Shot clock is down to 10. Bounce pass, Towns, top of the key against Julius Randle. Takes a dribble, left-handed, down the lane, up off glass, counted for two. Towns puts the Wolves up 110-109 with 29.3 seconds left.
And that is T-Wolves radio, Alan Horton with the call. They would wind up winning 112-110. Towns, 20 points, 5 rebounds, that 3-point play in the final minute. He says, as most do, very nice winning here.
Everyone's going to get a chance to have their Madison Square Garden moment. And I thought that was
Knicks
for me tonight.
That's so true. Now, this game.
That was funny.
Missed free throws and turnovers early in the game.
Yeah.
They fought back and they were winning.
They were winning in the fourth quarter. So
yeah, they were.
You know,
for a lot of the fourth quarter, they were winning.
Well, Kemba Walker actually gave them a little bit of
this
jolt
is funny.
In the second
so
half.
Explain this to me.
He wears like Kemba Walker, two sets of knee sleeves.
What did he do to get completely banished, not out of the starting, but out of the rotation completely? Now he's starting.
Well, he was also, he just dealt with an injury, too. There was that.
I know that.
But you're talking about the initial benching.
Prior to that, when he was benched and
defense.
And deemed
defense.
Not fit to even play,
defense.
Now he starts?
Defense.
Yeah, I would. Well, Derrick Rose injury happened there at that point, so you got to throw that in
but
there.
We're not using him off the bench. Now we're right in the starting lineup. It's just weird.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of the strangest relationships between coach and player that I have seen. I don't understand it.
But again, we talked about this yesterday. When they signed him, we all said, okay, he's got knee issues. He can't play on back-to-backs. He's definitely going to be limited in terms of trying to stop opposing young point guards like Anthony Edwards, and it's not going to go well. And it basically everything has played out except for maybe 2 weeks that where he had that little Jeremy Lin run when he came back because everybody got sick or hurt.
Yep.
And now he's back, and, you know.
He did have 17 of his 19 in the second half yesterday.
I told you, he gave them a jolt in the second half. There's no question. He can still shoot. There's no question about that. He cannot cover a young point guard. He just can't.
Evan Fournier had 27, hit 5 threes. Here he was talking about having Walker back.
You know, he's always smiling. He has a great attitude. He has a great spirit. You know, it's always great to see Kemba.
Yeah. And then in terms of, we mentioned the lead that they had, Tom Thibodeau says, have to learn how to close out games because right now we're not doing that.
The intensity of a fourth quarter is a lot different than the first three quarters, and we got to understand that.
Yeah. So the Knicks fall last night. They fall back under 500, 22-23. The T-Wolves an even 22-22. Warriors beat the Pistons 102-86. You got the Nets in Washington tonight. We'll have that for you on the Fan at 7. James Harden seems to be okay, should play tonight. Kyrie Irving on the road.
I saw one of the dumbest trade rumors ever.
Okay.
It was an article written about it. So.
James Harden for LeBron James.
James Harden for Ben Simmons.
Oh, okay.
Why would the Nets do that? Why?
I don't know. If you told me Kyrie Irving for Ben Simmons, although in I think they have the mandate in Philadelphia too now.
Do they?
I think they do. I think that's another place, and if not, it's coming soon. I could be wrong about that, but I think Philly instituted that too. UConn beat Butler 76-59. Iona clipped Monmouth 86-85. Number 6 Duke lost in overtime to Florida State 79-78. You got St. John's. I believe they're on the road at Creighton tonight. Rutgers home for Iowa, speaking of 8:30 starts. Don't need that. And free agent shortstop Carlos Correa has hired Scott Boras as his agent.
Who did he fire? He must have fired somebody.
Good question. I don't know.
Scott Boras and Brian Cashman sitting down. Oh, by the way, would you say Rutgers, Iowa?
Yeah.
Are you going there?
No, it's here.
Oh, it's here.
At 8:30. Because there was supposed to be a 6:30 game, which was Minnesota-Penn State, got canceled because Minnesota's got issues with COVID. Rutgers is supposed to be at Minnesota Saturday, so I don't know if that game will still be on. Tonight, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could use the heat being turned on, too, by the way.
Well, I brought a blanket in for you.
It's okay. I have my own, actually.
Oh, okay.
But thank you. That's very nice of you. Yeah, I'm going to come straight here. It makes no sense to go home.
All right.
At midnight, but whatever. Islanders Flyers in a shootout last night.
Wahlstrom in on Carter Hart. All but stops. Took the shot. He scores. And Oliver Wahlstrom, the ninth shooter for the Islanders, wins it in the shootout, giving New York the 4-3 shootout win.
They get the 2 points. That is Tim Saunders, Flyers Radio, 4-3, the final score. And so the Isles get the win as they try to get themselves back in it. You got the Rangers home for the Maple Leafs tonight and the Devils hosting the Coyotes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Sixers expert Spike Eskin, our program director, came in and said that after I brought up the James Harden to the Sixers thing and say, well, why the hell would the Nets do that? He believes the Nets would do it because he thinks that James Harden's going to want out at the end of the year so we could team up with Daryl Morey, of course, who was the general manager for the Houston Rockets all those years that James Harden was there and basically had the run of the organization.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
We are not reporting that this has happened.
No.
We're just discussing it.
No, he just said that.
Right.
I asked the hypothetical question.
Okay.
of why would the Nets trade James Harden for Ben Simmons? And I thought it was ridiculous. And Jerry didn't have an answer. You didn't have an answer. I didn't have an answer because it sounds ridiculous on paper. And the Sixers expert that he is, he's got a podcast, a very popular Sixers podcast.
Popular.
He's got two podcasts, actually, wow, just like
they,
Al Dukes.
So they can't stand Ben Simmons, and they can't stand Tobias Harris.
Yep.
That we know.
We do understand that. But that if James Harden wants to leave at the end of the year, that might be a way for both teams to be satisfied at the end of it. But
well,
I can't imagine.
That would have to be a sign and trade because
yep.
The only way James Harden gets the money that James Harden wants, the max money,
yep.
It would have to be given to him by the team he plays for.
That is right.
And then the Nets would have to sign him and then trade him to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then what is Kevin Durant going to do?
Oh, God. Be happy with that. He would not be happy with that. Ben Simmons? Maybe it's a three-team deal and somebody else comes the Nets
the
way.
Who are the Nets getting?
I don't know. But
and you're telling me, all right, so hold on, let me back this thing up for a second.
Back it up!
That James Harden, I don't know, you don't believe this.
I don't, I'm just being told by the Sixers expert.
By the Sixers expert that he thinks that James Harden wants to leave the Nets and go to the 76ers.
Yes.
And that's where he wanted to go originally.
Yeah, apparently. And even, I'm looking this up, so Mark Stein, you know, NBA veteran reporter, has been around for a long time. So it says that keeping Simmons beyond the trade deadline to exhaust every last possibility for executing a complicated sign-and-trade in the offseason that finally brings James Harden to Philadelphia and routes Simmons to Brooklyn is what he thinks is going to happen. So there you go. It's a thing. It's a thing.
You know what you did? You just set Evan off.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Nets don't win the title this year and then Harden goes to the... I mean, I don't want teams in the East to be better, but I really don't want the Nets to win a championship. Then Harden goes to Philadelphia and then Simmons, who can't even play basketball anymore, goes to the Nets. And then Kyrie's not playing because of mandates. And then Kevin Durant's pissed off because now he's got to deal with Ben Simmons. Oh, that'd be awesome.
You got now Kyrie and Ben basically play the same position, right?
Yeah, but
I guess you put them both
very
out there.
Differently.
One's a shooting guard, the other one's a point guard. And then Kevin Durant's a point forward, point center, point two, point three, whatever he is. Well, that'd be awesome. I mean,
you really need the Nets to lose.
The fact that they haven't been able to have the three of these guys on the court for what? I don't know. What, 13 games or something?
Yeah, it's almost like karma. You know what I'm saying?
It's unbelievable.
Like, you're not supposed to have that.
It's like the Giants wide receiver core.
Yeah.
Or the Jets wide receiver core, for that matter.
Yeah. You never see them all out there at the same time.
Well, why is it that wide receivers that play in New York always get hurt?
Remember yesterday I was talking about wanting to root for something desperately in the NFL,
yes.
Like not just my bets, like I wanted to get behind a team. In the NBA, it's easy. The thing I'm rooting for the most is against the Nets. I have got true, true passion to root against the Nets, especially with the Knicks being the team that they are, which is a nothing team right now. They're just, what are they?
You know, it's unfortunate because they just lost the two back-to-back teams in their building.
Yeah, they've been terrible to guard.
Essentially, very close to who they are as a team.
Yeah.
You know, and both teams came in, the Hornets and the Wolves came in defensively and clamped down there for a while.
Yeah, so I'm just rooting as hard as I can for the Nets to lose, and now for this scenario to happen where James Harden goes to the Sixers.
Bitch, shut your mouth!
Oh, that'd
baby.
Be great.
Yeah,
I have, and the Nets go down, is not shutting his mouth. He's opening it and keeping it open for a very long time.
You're going to be stirring that pot, baby.
Oh, God, that'd be the best.
I mean, really, what happens to them now? So Kevin Durant's going to be out, 4 to 6 weeks?
Yep.
So legitimately, what happens to them?
Well, I mean, what happens to them is it doesn't really matter as long as those guys are healthy and playing together as many games as possible in the postseason. That doesn't, you know?
I mean, could you
so
get...
So what?
I mean, they could be like a bottom seed.
They're not
going to
fall.
With the top seeds.
They're not going to fall all the way down to 7,
you don't
eight,
think
nine.
So?
7, 8, 9, or 10? No
Kevin
way.
Kevin Durant is like, forget it, he is...
You still got Kyrie in the road games. You still got James Harden.
Yeah,
there.
But you only have him for the road games. That's the
They're
point.
Not going to fall all the way down to the...
How many road games do they have? or how many home games do they have that Kyrie is not going to be playing in?
Just Google it.
I will. I'm going to come in there. I swear to God, Al, I'm going to grab you by your ankles.
Right.
And I'm going to swing your head right into that Mark Chernoff news, WFAN newsroom sign.
And by the way,
yes.
How long is it going to take to get that thing updated?
I had someone come measure last week.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, good. So there's some movement there. Because it looks awful back
there. All right,
there.
So let's take a look at the home schedule.
All right.
I'm a big schedule guy.
So in the next month, you want to say?
All right, so they're at Washington, San Antonio, Minneapolis, the next three games.
All right, so it's three road games.
No, they're away.
That's what I said, three road games.
Oh, road games, sorry.
Yeah.
So I have my IFB in my left ear.
Yeah.
Because my right ear IFB was hurting me, I don't know why.
Okay.
So it's taking me a little bit of time to get used to what you're saying me to hear.
Wait a second.
Your IFB was hurting you?
Yeah, I don't know why. It just didn't fit my ear right.
That's strange. I've had an ear issue lately, too. Clogged up something. I think it might be earwax. It's freaking me out.
We should go down to the pharmacy and get him some earwax cleaner and do it on the show to show people how to do it.
How do you do it?
You just use a Q-tip and pull it right out.
No, you can't. That's what they say. You can't do that. It jams it in there.
Put some of that juice in there.
You ever see the commercial for the thing that looks like a little coil?
You put it
in your ear and you turn it and it just pulls giant long wax sticks out of your ear.
That's what I need.
They probably have it down there.
That's what I need. And also there's one now that I see advertised on Instagram. It's got a camera on there. So it's like a hook that scoops the earwax out and then there's a camera on the end of it so someone can do it for you and see exactly where the wax is and pull it out for you.
That's nice.
Yeah. All maybe right. You could do that for me.
So the Nets have alternated wins and losses here for the last 10 days.
Okay.
And now they have three away games, so Kyrie can play in them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come home and play against the Lakers, Denver.
And look at that, another big road trip, five games on the road.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, you know, who knows?
So who knows what? What do you mean? So Kyrie's going to be playing in a majority of the games coming up.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. You really think they're going to fall that far? They're not going to fall that far.
I don't know. They don't. You know, if James Harden doesn't like playing with Kyrie, like Spike is telling us,
yeah, that's what he's telling us. Yeah, so that was his report, his thoughts.
All right. Well, you know, they're a half game out of the top of the.
They're going to make it to the playoffs. They're going to be one of the top seeds.
Everybody is so close. Even the Knicks are only 6.5 games out from where the Bulls are.
Yeah, but
everybody's so close, G.
6.5 games is not that close. It really isn't.
It is.
It is?
See, but the problem was that the Knicks, since they had two games, they needed to win these two games at home.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen with them because they're a team that has no identity. Nobody knows who they are, what they are, where they're going. Last year, they were a team that had a purpose. This year, they're not. And starting the game the way they did and ending the game the way they did last night was the perfect epitome of what the Knicks have been this year. Can't, you know, terrible starts, low energy, can't finish in the fourth quarter. It's frustrating as hell. So you could tell me 6.5 games out of where the Bulls are. They're never going to sniff that.
Well, could be worse.
It always could be worse.
Yeah, I mean, everybody is bunched up, man.
It always could be worse.
How about Cleveland, 27-18?
I know. Nobody saw that coming.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.